Praise the Lord, brother. Makes us want to get ready, amen. We all need to be ready because he could come at any moment.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. I hope he'll find me doing good when he comes. Amen.
Amen.
We were talking earlier before the church started, and they were talking about how folks were on the internet so much and into pornography, and how I think it's $1.44 billion a year spent on that. And I tell you what, folks think they can get in their bedroom or in their secret office and hide that stuff, but I want to tell you something. Be sure your sin will find you out. It'd be an awful thing to be caught up in something like that and the rapture take place, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, Revelation chapter 22. I want to look here at parts of four verses. First of all, verse 7 says simply, "Behold, I come what?
Quickly."
Quickly. And if you will, look at verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." And then if you'll jump down to verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say," what? "Come, and let him that heareth say, come." And then finally, if you look at verse 20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." What I want to preach on tonight is simply this: when Jesus comes, when Jesus comes. I'll preach fast if you listen fast. Amen. The second advent of Christ must seem like a fairy tale to a lost person, to an unbeliever. Example would be a Christian trying to explain this prophecy to an unbeliever. The Christians ask the unbeliever, "You know the Lord's coming back, don't you?" And the lost person says, "Oh yeah? When?" And the Christian says, "Well, I don't know, but it's going to be soon." And the lost person says, "Oh, he's coming back? How's he coming back?" And the Christian says, "Way up yonder on a cloud." By now, this lost person is going, something wrong with this fella. And then the lost person say, "Well, how will you know he's there?" And the Christian will say, "Well, somebody's going to step out and blow a real, real loud trumpet." And the lost person says, "Well, how do you know what that trumpet means?" And he says, "Well, I want to tell you this. Jesus is also going to shout down to earth, 'It's time to go, you all.'" That's Southern for "come up hither." Amen.
Amen.
And the lost person, he's really starting to get a kick out of this now. You know, and he says, "Well, what about my Christian granny who's lying over there in Evergreen Cemetery?" And the Christian says, "Well, don't worry. Her grave's going to bust wide open, and she's going to sail right through the air, and I'm going with her." But now he knows that Christian's not sailing with two oars. Amen. He just knows it. And the lost says, "Well, where y'all going?" And the Christian will say, "Well, first we're going to go meet Jesus in the air." And the lost person says, "Well, y'all coming right back though, aren't you?" And the Christian says, "Well, not right back in about 7 years, but first Jesus is going to fix a great big fellowship dinner for us in heaven." And the lost person saying under his breath, "I knew they were Baptists." And so the lost person says, "Well, what's the occasion?" And the Christian says, "Well, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb." And the lost person says, "Well, I reckon you and Granny got a special invitation." And the Christian says, "We sure did. In fact, they can't begin to celebrate until we get there." Glory to God. "Would you like to go with us?" And the lost person, he says, "Nah, I think I'll stick around here." And the Christian will say, "Well, you know, that's the wrong decision. You'll be sorry for that decision." And the lost person says, "Well, why should I be sorry for that decision?" He says, "Well, when we leave this earth, About 50 pounds chunks of hail mingled with fire are going to rain on this planet. And then 30% of all the trees are going to burn up. 100% of all the green grass is going to burn. 30% of the oceans are going to be turned into blood. 30% of the sea life is going to be destroyed. And 30% of the ships are going to be destroyed. Demonic locusts are going to come out of the smoke that's going to come out of the bottomless pit. And 1/3 of all the sunlight, 1/3 of all the moonlight, 1/3 of all the sunlight, 1/3 of all the light will be gone on this earth. And people will die and they will pray for rocks to fall on them. By now, the lost person's eyes are getting this big. He's wondering whether or not to call the men in white coats or not. It's like a fairy tale. But there's more. And the lost person said, well, I don't know if I want to hear any more. Well, there's more. And then he says, Granny and I are going to come back. And the lost person says, I know you're coming back on that cloud that took you away, right? And the Christian says, well, no, not actually. We're coming back on white horses. Boy, I tell you what, it gets weirder and weirder as we go on. On white horses. Why are you coming back? To watch a fight over in the Middle East? A fight? Yeah, it's called Armageddon. We're going to watch it. And then we're going to help Jesus set up his millennial kingdom, and we're going to help him rule on it. And listen, things will be different then. The lions are going to eat grass, and they're going to lay down with the lambs. And the children are going to play with snakes, and nobody will ever get bit or poisoned by a poisonous snake anymore. By now, this lost person is saying this dude has flipped out. I mean, he's been digesting something other than crispy fried chicken. He's saying he's one brick short of a load. He's one log short of a rick. He's one egg short of a dozen. And one taco short of a combo. Something is wrong with this Christian. It seems like a fairy tale. But my friend, it is not a fairy tale. Everything I've told you is going to happen. Because the Bible says so. Over 20 centuries have gone now. Human history has gone by since Christ arose and ascended up to heaven. You and I need to quit our yawning and start yearning for the return of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. We need to come out of our apathy and start getting happy because he's coming.
Yes.
We need to stop sleeping on our spirituality and start searching the upward skies because he's coming. Amen? He's coming. And that's what I'm going to preach about tonight is he's coming. And Lord God, come quickly. Amen. Let me read this to you in 2 Peter. And you don't have to turn unless you just want to, but I'm going to go through this scriptures pretty fast so I can get done. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, Peter says. And also this concerning the second coming of Christ. He's coming back, folks. The Bible says in Luke, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Luke also writes in Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, so Christ was once offered up to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. Are you looking for him? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time,
yes,
without sin unto salvation. Matthew wrote in 24:7, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Luke wrote again in 12:40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour ye think not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen, I'm just giving you a few verses.
That's
good, preacher. Come on.
The Bible says again in Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. James wrote, be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 22:20, we read that. He that testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Two more. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And Jude 14:15, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's coming back.
Amen.
The Bible says he's coming back. I want to show you quickly six good reasons that you, as a born-again believer, ought to be desiring Jesus to come back.
Amen.
One thing is this. Creation will finally receive its promises.
Mm-hmm.
People will no longer be worshiping Mother Earth. I tell you, it aggravates me when I watch the weather report and they say, well, Mother Earth did this and Mother Earth did that. God's in control of the weather, folks.
Amen.
There is no Mother Earth. Amen. And there would no longer be weeping over weeds or hugging trees.
Oh my.
Amen. Or bowing down to little bugs and fishes and frogs and porpoises and owls. Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Nature's beauty, by the way, is very beautiful, but it's also very deceiving. This planet is still under a curse.
That's right.
It really is. I mean, you got outside, my friend, at the wrong time of the year without the right clothing, and it can be very hostile to you. It's a hostile environment. You could freeze to death. Or if you get out in the desert without the proper clothes or lack of water, you die of thirst or burn up out in the desert. There are poisonous plants everywhere. How many's ever had poison ivy or poison oak or poison sumac? Just about everyone in here. There are biting insects and stinging insects. There are poisonous snakes and there are poisonous fish and frogs. There are briars and thorn patches everywhere on this planet. Carnivores, predators searching for flesh and blood to eat on our planet. And we're constantly reminded that the earth is still under curse by the diseases that bear upon this earth, by all the bacteria that kill us and give us diseases, all the germs and the viruses spread sometimes by monkeys, mosquitoes, ticks, mad cows, and birds. Amen. We have poor air and poor water quality at times. This earth is under a curse. Earthquakes, volcanoes, floods. Just turn on the news. Firestorms, thunders and lightnings and hailstorms, mudslides and deep snows, tornadoes and hurricanes and cyclones. But when Jesus comes, this planet will be renovated. This planet will be renovated. Paradise will be restored. Deserts will bloom with flowers. Animals will play and lay down together. My friend, children will again play and lead lions, the Bible says, and they can play in the cockatrice's den and not get bitten. And Jesus will one day make a new heaven and a new earth. When Jesus comes, creation will receive its promises. That's one reason we should desire for the Lord to come back. Another reason is this. The nations will receive their promises. Matthew chapter 25, let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Let me get it here. The Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Verse 34 says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The nations are going to receive their judgment one day when Christ comes back. Amen? There'll be no more blasphemous or impotent United Nations to contend with. No more godless communism on this planet. No more satanic socialism. No more hateful Nazism to contend with. No more demonic dictatorships anywhere on this planet. No more humanism. No New Age movement. No New World Order. No murderers of the nation of Islam. Allah and his false prophet won't be a factor at all. Amen? And all the enemies of Israel will be gone. When Jesus comes back, the nations are going to receive their promises.
Amen.
Because when Jesus comes, the nations, first of all, will receive justice. They'll receive their blessings. Amen? They'll receive peace on earth, finally, and goodwill toward men. Let me read this to you in Isaiah. It's almost a Christmas verse, but it's really not. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm telling you, the nations will receive their promises. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Thirdly, when Jesus comes, the Jews will receive their promises. About time, isn't it?
Amen.
Hear Paul's cry, if you will, in Romans chapter 9 for his people. Romans chapter 9, the first five verses says, I say a truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Paul was concerned about his folks, the Israelites. God made a covenant with Israel, and he's going to keep that covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 11 tells us this in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Keep soul winning. Keep going on visitation. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Don't give up on Israel. Don't you worry about Israel. God is going to take care of Israel.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus comes, Israel will inherit the promised land. No need for settlements. No need for refugees. No need for extortionists. There'll be no more compromises with the PLO. No more land giveaways, no more suicide bombers, no more riots in the streets of Israel, no more rockets and missiles and bombs killing Israelites. Pharaohs will not be putting them in bondage. Babylonians will not be able to disperse them anymore. Hitler's won't be able to practice genocide on them anymore. When Jesus comes, he's going to set everything right with Israel.
Amen.
And Israel will cry out, the Deliverer has come. Israel will cry out, Shiloh has come. Israel will cry out, Messiah is here. And their eyes will be open and realize that Jesus is their Messiah once and for all. When Jesus comes, what a glorious time that will be for Israel. Fourthly, Satan will get what's coming to him.
Amen, glory to God.
Woo. Satan will get what's coming to him. In Revelation chapter 20, I read this to the devil every now and then. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Yes. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When Jesus comes, the devil is going to get what's coming to him.
Amen.
I'm talking about the devil, that old serpent. The great red dragon will suffer defeat at the return of Jesus, dishonor at the return of Jesus, total humiliation at the return of Jesus, and this so-called angel of light will be agonizing in the lake. This so-called anointed cherub will be one dethroned Bubba. This so-called prince of the power of the air will become the pauper of the pit. This so-called minister of righteousness will soon disappear like a flaming shish kebab. This so-called little god of this world will be the biggest fool in the universe. When Jesus comes, this great red dragon will be a little charcoal lizard when Jesus comes. This one is so-called the most subtle creature in the garden, will be known simply as that stupid snake. Glory to God, when Jesus comes, Satan is going to get what's coming to him. And instead of playing around with the souls of men and of women and boys and girls, Satan will spend eternity playing Dungeons and Dragons in the pits of hell and wondering why he lost the game. Amen. Glory to God. He's going to get it. Just wait till my big brother gets a hold of him. He's got it coming. Amen. There's a place prepared for you, old Satan, and your angels as well. It's called the lake of fire. When Jesus comes, creation will receive its promises. Nations will receive its promises. Jews will receive their promises. Satan will get what's coming to him. Fifthly, the saints of God will receive what they've got coming.
Amen.
The saints of God will receive what they've got coming. I thank God for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Forever to be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. I'll be with Jesus one of these days. I'm going home. But also 1 Corinthians tells us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, good portion of scripture. Verse 51 says, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The saints are going to get what's coming to them when Jesus comes and takes us home. Amen. I'm going home with Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. By the way, you don't have to do anything but be born again to be a saint.
That's right.
Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're automatically a saint. You don't have to do 6 miracles, see 3 visions, serve the Mother Church for 40 years, and then die and be voted on by a regiment of cardinals to be a saint. Just trust Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And you're a saint. Amen. I'm a living saint. Glory to God. Amen. And we will receive our glorified bodies. We will receive rewards and crowns. A reunion will be with our saved, lost loved ones that have gone before us. A restored planet and a heavenly city to live in. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more diets, thank God. Amen. So when Jesus comes, creation will receive its promises. The nations will receive their promises. The Jews will receive their promises. Satan will get what's coming to him. The saints will get what's coming to them. But finally, the best for last. When Jesus comes, he will get what he deserves.
Amen.
Glory to God. Revelation chapter 5, let me read this to you. Starting at verse 8. Revelation 5, verse 8. Simply says this, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Christ is going to receive what he deserves when he comes back. Amen. When Christ was on earth the first time, he was humiliated in history. When he comes back, he'll be vindicated in history. He was cursed on the earth, cursed at on the earth. When he comes back, he'll be coronated on the earth and over the earth. He was crowned with thorns the first time he came. But my friend, when he comes again, he'll receive a royal diadem. When he was here the first time, his creatures sped upon him. My friend, but every one of our creatures, his creatures, will bow the knee to him and confess with their tongue, amen, that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the anointed one of God.
Amen.
They mocked him as the King of Jews, but henceforth he will simply be known as the King of kings. He was falsely condemned. When he comes back, he will judge every man. He was raised up on a cross when he was here the first time. But soon he will reign high and lifted up as the greatest potentate the universe has ever known. While he was here the first time, he was scourged with a cat of nine tails. But when we see him again, he'll be worshipped with songs and praises, and crowns will be cast at his feet. Are you getting homesick? Are you starting to yearn for Jesus to come back? Boy, I do. Amen. I get homesick sometimes, Brother Kendrick. Yeah. Have you been looking upward lately? I know we've got one song titled Uncloudy Day, and it's a beautiful song, but there's got to be a cloud. Jesus come back on a cloud. Amen. Yeah. Amen. He's not coming back on an uncloudy day. He's coming back on a cloud. Amen. Have you been longing to be with your Savior lately? If you're saved, my friend, you can have all eternity to adore him, to worship him, to cherish him, and to love him. But he wants you to practice now. He wants you to start practicing now. So when you get to heaven, you'll know what's going on. There will be some Baptists been saved 25 years, get to heaven, and want to know, what are they doing? They're raising their hand. They're shouting. What are they doing? Start practicing now. Amen?
That's right.
So when you get to heaven, you won't be so surprised. And you'll get a jump ahead of everybody. When Jesus comes, oft times the day seems long. Our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for him to come? Are you into something you shouldn't be in? Only you and him know. What about your thought life? You ever think of that? Amen. What about your eyes? What you watch on television? Come on, those are just little things you say. But my friend, I wouldn't want to be doing it when the trumpet blows. Amen. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, simply confess your sins to him. Say, I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. I believe, Jesus, that you can save my soul. Come into my life and be my Savior. And he will. When he comes back, he'll either be your Savior or your condemner. One of the two. There is no purgatory. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's bow our heads.